Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in. It's Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for. Romancing the Smokies? Well, it's a romance reader's dream. There'll be multiple book signings, endless chances for author meet and greet, and a fine luncheon to look forward to. The Hummingbird Place is bringing together authors and readers March 19th at the Airport Hilton in Knoxville, Tennessee. Romance writers from around the region are attending Romancing the Smokies. The list includes Hallie Bridgman, J.K. Inslee, Mallory Kane, Shannon West, Sandy Sullivan, Leanne Tyler, Brandy Kennedy, Trista Ann Michaels, Nancy Nagel, and many more. Keynote speaker Tanya Kappas will share with us how she accomplished success in the self-publishing industry with HarperCollins and Witness, plus how she gains inspiration for her ghostly Southern stories. It's a luncheon for readers and authors March 19th. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.com under Romancing the Smokies 2016. Tickets start at $39.99. The book signing alone is free, but attendees still need to register. Elegant luncheon, featured authors, books, swag, and gift basket giveaways. Meet who's hot. Visit RomancingTheSmokies.com for more details. Romancing the Smokies is brought to you by The Hummingbird Place, your premier destination for author interviews and publishing industry news. Every Monday evening at 7 p.m. from the Dark Hollows Press studio, airing on Blog Talk Radio.
And it is Monday night, and I am here with my guests. First up, somebody I've never met in my entire life and have no idea who she is or what she's like, ladies and gentlemen, Shannon West.
Hello.
Hello. Shannon, is it true or untrue that we have never met?
No, I never met you before in my life.
Yeah. We don't know anything about each other, so.
No, not at all.
I know that you've recently written a book called Mate of the Tiger Prince, and you spell tiger funny.
Yes, I spell it T-Y-G-E-R because it was taken from a poem by William Blake, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright.
Huh.
And it spelled, and it was, he had the archaic spelling. So the title was, and these are, it's a sci-fi romance. Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of a sci-fi romance. And so it's it takes place in on a planet called Tigeria. And they are tiger shifters, actually. So
wow. Well, do you have any lightsabers?
Any lights? No, they don't have any lightsabers.
What about
they have,
a transporter?
They have no transporters either. They have disruptors, which are like their little guns. And also spaceships and things like that.
So can they set the disruptor? Can they set the disruptors to either kill or what
stun,
is it they
yes.
call it? Stun.
To stun. Yes, they can.
All
so
right.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun with it. I like the different worlds and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, the wonderful thing about writing is you can be anywhere in the universe.
I know. And make things up.
Yeah, and just make up a universe, for that matter.
Make things up. Yeah, why not? This one has been a war going on between Earth and its allies and the evil Axis, which we think is evil, but it's really not evil. It's only evil to them, to the Alliance. But actually, Earth started the war, so you know it's really like who's the evil one. It was because of greed. They wanted their diamond resources that are on that planet. So it's just, you know, you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that idea and put it all together, and it's just kind of fun.
And that's what that is what being an author is all about. Is
I know it is.
I love the control that I have over the characters. You know, if I tell them turn left, they have to turn left.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so you are one of the co-owners of a wonderful small press called Dark Hollows Press.
I am, yes.
And you have all kinds of fabulous authors who write for you.
Yes, we do.
And you are enjoying that.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. I really, and I'll have to be honest, I do very little. Most of it is my co-owner. She does everything. I just pretty much write books and do a little editing, and that's about it.
Shannon, let's talk a little bit like we're inside the actor studio. If you were not an author, what would you be doing?
If I were what, not an author?
Yes.
Laying on the couch.
And if I was
I retired from teaching. Mm-hmm. And I had started writing before I retired, about three years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough, you know, to try to, at that time I was just, you know, tried to write every evening, excuse me, when I got off work, and it was really tiring and stuff. But, you know, then when I retired, I had all this time, and I still continued to write, and it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. It's become more like a job now, though, instead of something fun, because now it's really like a job. Because I do, I get up every morning, and I work from 7:30, 8 o'clock until about 3:30 in the afternoons every day. And so it is a job, you know, always. And, of course, I set my own hours, and I can take a long lunch if I want to. I can just go shopping if I want to. So that's always good. But I do try to work to you know, approach it like a job, because it is a job to write. I mean, anybody that says they can sit down and, you know, spew out 5,000, 6,000 words in a day, I don't know how they do it. I know that some people do. I don't know how they do it, because I fight for every word.
Yeah. I'm more like you are. Now, let's just go back to when you first started writing. Seriously, you were writing while you were still working, and did you publish anything while you were still working?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did. I published a lot. Because I worked a lot. I worked every weekend, and I worked at night. And, yes, I published. The first six books I wrote were male-female historical romance. And they were all published when I was still working. And then I switched over to MM, and I started the Dark Hollow series. And that one really took off. And then I wrote, I'm on book 13 now. I kind of slowed down a little bit because kind of killing myself, but I wrote about six of those while I was still working, and then I also started another series called Love Slaves of the Alphas, and I wrote about three of those, I think. So yeah, I was working, and in the meantime doing short stories too, so just crazy.
Well, I'm just sitting with my mouth open. I'm just trying to figure out how you did it, because I do have a day job, and I'm telling you that sometimes I come in and I don't have a job that is physical, but there are times when I'll just come home and stare at the wall.
I wonder now myself, but you know, I read a while ago, not long ago, I read about how there's a term called unbottling, and it's like if you've never done anything in art wise, you know, painting or poetry or writing books or something, and all of a sudden you come to it kind of late. You've got all this inside you, and you just unbottle it. It's just kind of pops out of you and pours out of you. So I think maybe it was something like that. I just really felt compelled to do it. And I enjoyed it so much. And, I still enjoy it, but it's changed a lot now. I don't do as much. I don't do as fast. I'm not as fast as I was. So, you know, and some of that is, I think, just gaining more experience, you know, and kind of slowing it down and taking more time to really, you know, hone your craft a little bit.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I have been trying to get some things out. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just, about the middle of last month, I just said, okay, guys, Muse, you're just going to have to sit in the corner until I can get Romancing the Smokies finished for this year. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, you're going to be a featured author.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
We are going to have fun. Because you know what? Even though it's just a luncheon and there's not a whole lot other things going on, let's face it. We have fun, do we not?
We do. We absolutely have fun. Your events are always fun. They're really they're always great. They're always fun. And you always have good authors. And this one's got a lot of good authors. And I can't. And it's such a nice mix of authors. I mean, it's not just male-female. It's not just sweet romance. It's both erotic romance and sweet romance and everything in between. And it's male-female, you know, male-male, everything in between, I would imagine, too, because I know we've got one of our authors who is coming and going to be our goal sponsor, as a matter of fact, and she writes, you know, menage, and she writes male-female and male-male and just everything. She's all over the place. And I mean, I think it's great that we can all – because we all love the story. We all love the romance and the happy
exactly
ever
right.
after.
And do
and
you
however
not
you get there, you know.
do you not hate a story that does not have a happily ever after?
I absolutely do. I can't, and I don't like them when they just stop and then leave you hanging.
Yeah.
For the next book. I can't stand that.
Well,
I've got to have a good ending. I've got to have an ending, an actual ending. Things have got to wrap up.
Well, I got to tell you, yesterday I was so frustrated in trying to work on some things that had to be printed and things like that. And I just really got frustrated. I couldn't make the printer and the computer say the same thing, so to speak. So I went in the other room and I said, well, I'm going to fix myself some lunch and watch a movie and then I'll go back to it. And I started watching this movie and it was called Basil. And it had some good stars in it. Christian Slater was in it. Jared Leto, who's been nominated for Academy Awards and everything. And it took place, I'm assuming, Victorian time because of the hats. They wore hats sort of like Abraham Lincoln, you know, the stovepipe hats they call
right,
them.
Right.
And it had such a sad, I mean, at first the story was sad, but then it just got sadder and sadder. Mm. And then people started dying, and I'm thinking,
no.
Yeah, and I'm like, what, what's
happening
here?
Oh, I can't, a sad ending. Oh,
I mean,
you know,
it
and
doesn't.
You invest so much time in it, and you invest so much in the characters, and then for them to die, oh, that's the worst.
I mean, I would give it a 1 out of 5. It wasn't. I mean, it was well acted, but I just hated the story. I'm sorry, I wasted 2 hours on it. I really am.
I know. That's the way I feel when I get to the end of a book where my favorite character dies or it doesn't end well. I don't like that. We're romance people.
We want
endings.
That HEA. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember one time my husband got me a book for my birthday, and it was he thought it was a romance author. It is not. I won't say who it was, but I can tell you that I cried from about the third chapter to the end of the book. No one ended happy. Everybody died, nothing. I mean, it was just, I kept waiting for that happily ever after, and it just wasn't there. And I swore I would never read another one of her books, and I haven't, because I don't, you know, life is hard enough.
Exactly. I read for escape. I want to escape my everyday sad world, you know, and now my world is not sad, but if everybody's got some sadness, everybody's got problems. And, you know, you read to escape some of that for a little while.
Absolutely.
And just to be able to get in this other world and just, you know, wrap yourself up in the romance of it and the love story. And I love to read things about or to watch movies about people that I'm not very familiar with. I was watching one last night, as a matter of fact, on one of the channels, the Hallmark channel or something, about a Jewish people that from New York, and they were Hasidic Jews, I believe. I didn't know anything about them, but they were just, you know, just interesting, the story.
Right.
It was a good love story, and it was wonderful. So, yeah, I love things to take you out of your world and put you in a different world completely, and that's what it's all about.
I think that's
what romance
is
all about.
I think that's what the big thing has been for the past 6 years with Downton Abbey, is that it's almost like for that hour every week, we would just step into 1920s England.
Into that world.
Because it was, yeah, I mean, you know, you're in this other world. Well, that's what I love about Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I'm just in this other world for a while. I mean, and a lot of people that are my age who, you know, had been, well, now, you have to remember, the original Star Trek came out in the 60s, and I was just a little girl, seriously. But, I mean, you know, always little, very little, okay?
Okay, very young.
Got
a baby.
Exactly. And I always, you know, I never really got into any of the others except maybe Voyager, but I always thought of Kirk, you know, he's William Shatner, and that's it, and so on and so forth. But I have to say that I like the reboot. I think the reboot has been very, very well done.
I like the reboot, too. Especially Spock. He's very cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about it is that when they took that first episode that they did, the first movie, and they changed the time, you know, there was a time shift in there, that opened them up to be able to do anything.
Exactly.
They didn't have to tell the same stories over and over again.
Right.
So
building that world.
Exactly. And that's why I think that most people have really welcomed it. Okay, Maid of the Tiger Prince, T-Y-G-E-R, by my friend Shannon West. And Shannon will be with us at Romancing the Smokies. And Shannon, we are going to be doing basket raffles while we're there. So I hope that you will bring some books and other things. It's going to go for
Yes, I'm going to. I've got a basket already.
Yay! And my little Bebo will be so happy to hear that, because he is from the Newport Animal Shelter. That's where we got him. And we've had him now. Yeah, we've had him now for about 10 years, believe it or not. And he has been such a sweet, I mean, I look forward to coming home because I know he's going to be dancing all around me, you know?
Exactly.
he's just a sweet little beagle boy. But anyway, I just want to thank you for coming to Romance in the Smokies. Cannot wait to see you. Can you believe it's less than 2 weeks?
I can't. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be, anybody who's out there and is wondering whether or not they should come, then you should definitely try to come because it's fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
everything,
we are going to have
these events are so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And the hotel is gorgeous.
Yes, and we have such, like you were saying, such a wonderful group of authors, and they are very generous people who are going to we're just going to have fun. I mean, if you're looking for something fun to do on March 19th, Shannon West and I will be there along with several other authors, and we're just going to have fun. If you'd like to have fun, it's the place to be.
That's right. Lots of good books.
That's right. Mate of the Tiger Prince by Shannon West. Shannon is published and co-owner of Dark Hollows Press, so you can pick that up at darkhollowspress.com or anywhere we'll find ebooks are sold.
That's right.
That's right. Shannon, thanks again for being on, sweetie. Love you. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you. I love you, too. I can't wait to be there.
All right. Take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Coming March 8th from Dark Hollows Press, Then Sawyer Happened by Harry Cosmo. Trace has had a run of bad luck. He lost his job, his boyfriend, and his apartment building, which burned to the ground with all his worldly possessions. So Trace heads for the ranch owned by his Aunt Lois. When he arrives, she's in a car accident, which turns out to be attempted murder. Looks like Trace's luck has followed him. Then Sawyer Happens. Then Sawyer Happened by Harry Cosmo, coming out March 8th from Dark Hollows Press. Leanne Tyler's newest release, A Letter, A Garden, A Journal, A Chance at Love, Secrets on River Road. Madison Franklin is called to Wyndham House in the late spring of 1920. Curiosity for a side of her family she knows nothing about draws her in and leads her deeper and deeper in unraveling the Wyndham past. She and her intriguing new neighbor, Connor Montgomery, become fast friends, and as their relationship grows, they discover more secrets on River Road than either could have ever imagined. Leanne Tyler's Secrets on River Road, available where all fine books are sold.
And we are back on the couch here at Hummingbird Place with my good friend Brandy Kennedy. Brandy, welcome to Hummingbird Place. Brandy, are you there? Okay, we seem to be having some trouble getting Brandy on. So let me go ahead and see if we can find somebody else to talk to. I mean, you know how it is. It's pretty hard around here. Why don't we go ahead and start our news a little early? Wait a minute. I think Brandy's back. And I have Gelman on the line. Gelman, what's up?
Oh, I'm just listening to the show tonight, loving what I'm hearing.
Well, I'm so glad. I don't know what happened to Miss Brandy. She was there, and now she's gone.
Uh-oh.
Well, there she is. She's back. Let's try her again. Hang on just a moment.
Okay.
And Brandy, is that you?
It is. I'm sorry. I'm having technical difficulties.
My phone, my cell phone keeps hanging up. Luckily, I'm Skyping in, but my cell phone keeps hanging up. Gelman had come on just to say hello and kind of give me somebody to talk to. But we've still got a few minutes, Brandy. Why don't you tell us all about your latest release, which is Fat Chance?
Well, it's actually an old release, but it just recently went free on all of the markets. So I'm super excited to be able to share that with everybody in a way that I kind of wasn't before. So it's a really sweet story, and it's, you know, the blurb is, like, cheesy and everything because it's marketing, but the story is essentially this girl who is broken. She grew up in the foster system, and she's kind of lost everybody through various tragedies, and she's really by herself. So she ends up with this foster family that is, like, you know, they're the last family because as you grow out of the foster system, you're kind of left on your own at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But this family, they chose to keep her, you know, and they made her their own. And so she is very close to the mother. She's very close to the twin daughters. There's another sort of like foster brother that's in the house, and he sort of sucks. He sucks. So she has, I mean, she's got all these issues from so much stuff that's gone on. And then on top of everything, you know, as girls grow and their bodies begin to change, sometimes they change in ways that are not socially accepted. You know, so this is a bigger girl and she's plus sized and she's uncomfortable with it and unhappy with it. And she has heard, you know, little snide remarks and things that we don't want to admit people say, but they do.
Right.
And it's those things that stick with you, and then you catch yourself saying them to yourself. You know what I mean? And you're in the grocery store, and you're totally berating yourself because you just bought a head of lettuce, you know? And it just gets this out-of-control thing. And so she has this moment where she's just totally breaking. And she ends up going into therapy with this really hot therapist who is a bit unconventional. He's got just a little attitude, but he's delightful, and he's exactly what she needed, you know, and he kind of takes a place of guidance with her and showing her that she can find something worthwhile in her own self just by making the effort to look for it, you know. So you spend the first third of the book, and you just feel for her because she's you and she's me and she's your sister and your mother and your cousin and your friend, and she's hurting and you can't do anything about it because you're just reading, you know. And so you just watch her as she starts to grow and develop into this person that is so much more compassionate with herself and more understanding maybe of other people. And so then by some accident, which is always the best way, she encounters this guy, and he's beautiful, and he's loyal, and he's sweet, and he's kind, and he's broken too. And so sort of come together and they understand each other, but it's so often when we have our own things inside of us that are broken and that are messed up, those little sharp edges cut against other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you care about someone and you realize that maybe there's this place inside of you that thinks they're better than you, they're way better than you, and you are so not worthy of that. And so she has this moment where she's just not worthy of this beautiful man who is so caring and sweet and gentle, and he is encouraging and he's kind. And actually, I've been yelled at because he's too perfect, which I just don't understand how that could happen, because too perfect, really? But anyhow, she kind of pushes him away, you know, and she's, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't know what to do with this. And so she pushes him away and she kind of shuts him out. And I think we can all relate to that, because we've all had moments where we just can't,
right.
You know, and she gets her moment where she just can't. And so it takes her a little while to come around of that. And she has kind of a surprise phone call one night that sort of turns things around for her. And she decides maybe she can. So it's their story. And his name is Drew. Drew is the middle son of the Kingsley family.
Okay.
So this is our introduction in the first book. Fat Chance is the first book in the Kingsley series. So it's an introduction to their family and what they're all about and how they work and how they work together in spite of things that have happened to them and tragedies that they have in their past and little things that they have to get over that, you know, we sometimes have little things in our lives that feel so big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So most of these people have some sort of little thing that just feels so big, and they just need someone to kind of hold their hand and walk them through it. And it's really cool to be able to write that. It's very exciting.
Well, I have read some of Fat Chance. I haven't got the chance to finish it yet because Romance in the Smokies is basically taking all my free time. But I think everyone's going to enjoy it. And you said it's free. And on what platforms can we get it for free?
It's free everywhere. It's on Amazon and Kobo. You can get it for your Nook. It's on a few other places. I have all the links on my homepage of my website. So that's okay. authorbrandykennedy.blogspot.com. When you get there, it just brings up a homepage, and it has off to the right, there's a big, like a promo picture of it, and just below that, it has all the links right there for you. So you just click them, and it takes you directly to your preferred market and the actual book page, to the best of my linking ability.
And we're not sure how exactly the best of your linking ability is, right, Brandy?
I'm still learning.
I know, aren't we all? There's no way I can do all this stuff. So what's next for
you? Well, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I have RTS coming, Romance in the Smokies. I had a little mini freak out over that today because, oh, my gosh, it's next Saturday.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Not this Saturday,
I'm so excited.
Next Saturday. I know. It's killing me, I'll be honest.
I almost have this stuff already for my gift baskets for everybody at my luncheon table, and I cannot wait to put them together because they're going to be so beautiful. So I'm dying. I'm so excited. And then I will be signing in Maynardville this fall, which I'm excited about. I always love to sign there because it's just such a great place, and it's really cool to have a public library that supports all authors, and they don't have any contractual prejudice, you know? And
right.
So because,
right.
I mean, I know there is this huge stigma about independently published authors, but I personally don't want a contract. I'm not independently published because I can't get one. I don't want one. So that's like a soft spot for me, and I love that Maynardville, they're cool about everything. And
right.
It's just such a friendly environment. So there's it that.
Very much yet. And the thing about
year,
it, is, Brandy, is that you're talking, I mean, there are a lot of authors that have been on this show in the last 2.5 years who have said to me, I like controlling my own destiny.
I do. It means a lot to me to know that when I put something out, it's well done, and it's well done because I oversee every step. And that's, I'm human too, you know, so every now and then I'm looking through one of my books and I'm like, oh my gosh, there should have been a comma there. You know, but
yeah.
For the most part, I'm proud of my product, and that's what books are. I mean, they're emotional and they're meaningful and they can speak right into our soul when they're well done, and they can mean so much to people who love them. But it's a product, and it has to be respected that way. And the packaging matters, and the content matters, the production matters. Everything's important, just the same as it would be if it was a, you know, a rug or a shirt or a pair of shoes. You don't want to buy a pair of shoes and have them fall apart, or take them out and find out that they ate your skin off your foot. You know, like
yeah.
You want to. I guess you do want a book that kind of eats your heart out, though.
If you're reading a romance,
that makes a good book.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I like that. I know my covers, they say what I want them to say, to me at least. And my books mean something to me, and what's in them means something to me. So I like that there isn't somebody over my head saying that I should have named Cass Susie because it's more marketable. You know?
Okay. Haven't heard that
I
one.
I just like, well, I mean, just the little things that you come up with in the publishing world with contracts, and when you give over that control, it's control of a lot of different things, and
oh, yeah.
I like that I control those things.
Well, I can tell you that I've known many, many, many New York Times bestselling authors who hated their covers.
Yeah.
Because
and
they
I
had,
hear
because,
that. And
yeah.
When
and
Toma,
they had, I, yeah.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, with the covers, one time I went and I saw Liliana Hart speak, and she was a very moving speaker, and she's independently published and very successful. And so I feel like I'm still very new, and so I'm very small, and I look up to her greatly. And she was talking about her covers and how much it meant to her to be able to choose her own, because she had people in the publishing world that said, no, you have to do covers like this. And they didn't mm-hmm. work. And
right.
she was able to just say, yeah, you know what, this doesn't work for me. And she changed it back, and it worked because it fit. And I know what fits my product. She knows what fits hers. You know what fits yours, because it's yours.
Exactly.
It's my baby. I wouldn't let somebody else tell me what my baby can wear. Yeah, except
that's
when
right.
she goes to school. Cause
well, there are
I
dress
have to
code.
Listen then.
Right. Well, Brandy, thank you so much for being on tonight. And you can catch Fat Chance, one of Brandy's first books, on all platforms right now for free.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandy
it's a
is going
to
be
able to share it.
And she's going to be one of our featured authors at Romance in the Smokies. We're very excited about that. And Brandy, thank you so much for being on, sweetheart.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Dark Hollows Press is a publisher of romance whose authors present high-quality stories full of desire. They welcome submissions from both new as well as established authors. They offer a built-in reader base, professional editing, cover design and marketing, worldwide distribution, and competitive royalties paid monthly. Dark Hollows Press publishes all genres of romantic expression, from historical to fantasy, sci-fi to contemporary, and now urban fantasy and new adult. Find submission guidelines or find a new favorite book or author at darkhollowspress.com.
Thank you for joining us at Hummingbird Place, your home for romance. We come to you each week from the Dark Hollows Press studio. For more fun and information, join us at thehummingbirdplace.com. There you can find out about our upcoming shows and events, such as Romancing the Smokies, a live event in 2016. Remember, just go to thehummingbirdplace.com. And we now are in the reading nook, because it's just dark outside. I don't want to leave her out in the dark, with our very own news gal. Her name is Mallory Kane, and her game is Romance News. Mallory?
Hi, Donna. Well, it's very cozy in the reading nook. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm enjoying that glass of wine I've got. The first story I have for tonight is a 10-book list of movie adaptations that will hit the big screen within the next 12 months from novels. The first one, not in any particular order, is Brain on Fire by Susanna Callahan. In this heartbreaking memoir, she details her descent into madness, her family's inspiring faith, and her life-saving diagnosis with the rare autoimmune disorder encephalitis. Chloe Grace Montz takes this medical mystery that is simply gripping to the silver screen. The second book is The Choice by Nicholas Sparks. When Gabby Holland moves in next door, Travis Parker abandons his once coveted carefree lifestyle, beginning a tale of lost and found love, and I believe that that is now or soon to be in theaters. How to Be Single by Liz Tukilo. Tired of being eternally single, Julie Jensen sets out to discover how women around the world deal with singledom. From Paris to Brazil to Sydney to Beijing, Julie falls in love, gets her heart broken, and learns more than she imagined. That also should be in theaters now. The Girl on the Train, which has been a very much publicized and well thought of book by Paula Hawkins. If you loved Gone Girl, this one is for you. When Rachel's view from the commuter train reveals something shocking, she can't keep it to herself, setting off a disastrous chain of events. Emily Blunt and Justin Theroux star in the film adaptation of this Hitchcockian thriller. And I have that release date as October 7th. Dan Brown's Inferno, Ron Howard's new film. With an assassin on his trail, Robert Langdon, played by Tom Hanks, and a resourceful doctor, played by Felicity Jones, embark on a harrowing journey to unravel a series of codes left by a brilliant scientist who is obsessed with the end of the world. That release date is October 14th of 2016. Queen of Katwe by Tim Cruthers is the remarkable true story of Fiona Mutisi, a teenage chess prodigy growing up in Uganda, one of the world's most unstable countries. Starring Lupita Nyong'o and David Oyelowo, the Queen of Katwe will continue to inspire millions as it moves from the book's pages to the screen. And American Pastoral by Philip Roth. I was not actually aware that Philip Roth was still alive. I don't know why exactly. I guess because he's been writing since the 60s, and maybe I had the idea that he was older than he was back then. In post-war America, Swede Livov watches his seemingly perfect life fall apart when his daughter's new political affiliation leads to a savage act of political terrorism. Nearly 20 years after its publication, there's some interesting words. It has been quite a while since it was written. American Yes. Pastoral remains extremely relevant and well worth reading. The film, which will be released in 2016, stars Ewan McGregor, Dakota Fanning, and Jennifer Connelly. The Zookeeper's Wife by Diane Ackerman. After the Warsaw Zoo is bombed, zookeeper Jan Zabinski and his wife Antonia, played by Jessica Chastain, managed to save more than 300 people from the Nazis by hiding the refugees in empty animal cages. This stunning piece of World War II literature is based on a true story.
Oh, wow.
And the second to last, The Lost City of Z by David Graham. In 1925, British explorer Percy Fawcett sets off into the Amazon rainforest in search of a fabled civilization to never return. In this piece of narrative nonfiction, David Graham begins his own quest into the Amazon, interweaving Fawcett's story with his own. Both stories will combine to create an epic adventure for moviegoers. And the last of the 10, The Light Between Oceans by M.L. Stedman. When a dead man and a living baby wash up on the shores of a remote island off the coast of Australia, the lighthouse keeper and his wife decide to claim the baby as their own. When they later return to the mainland, though, they learn their choices had devastating effects on one life. Michael Fassbender, Alicia Vikander, and Rachel Weisz bring this lovely and beloved novel to the big screen. That release date is September 2nd of 2016. So those are a few book into movie adaptations for us to look forward to this year. Well, Donna, in an email sent to authors on Friday, I believe it was the next to last Friday in February, Christina Brashear, publisher of Salmon Publishing, a mostly digital romance publisher, said that the publisher will begin to shut down its publishing operations due to a steady decline in ebook sales. It's with the heaviest of hearts and a great sadness I bring you news of Salmon beginning the process of winding down due to our market share's continuing decline. We are approaching the point where we cannot sustain our business, Brashear wrote. In the letter, Brashear said ebook sales at Salmon have been declining steadily over the last 2 years. Attempts to renegotiate terms with Amazon for better placement on Amazon's website have been met with silence, according to her. She said the house, which was founded in 2005 and was a publishing pioneer of romance fiction in ebook format, will lay off most of its staff and freelancers. About 5 staff employees will remain to wind down publishing operations. Brashear says she won't shut down Salmon immediately, but will continue to publish scheduled titles, sell books, and pay royalties as long as possible to satisfy creditors. Brashear says royalties will be processed on a normal schedule. She says that titles that are completed and ready will be published on schedule, and authors whose titles are not finished will have their rights reverted back to them. Brashear also said that while she intends to revert all the rights of all books back to their owners, she cautions that it will not happen immediately. Many of you are going to ask for your rights back. Please be patient and understand it will take time to process those titles where rights are available to be returned. If your titles haven't yet reached the point to have your rights returned, we won't be making any mass releases at this point. We need the income to continue while we wind down and ask that you understand that we will release the books back to you when we can and we won't be abusing your trust. Brashear ends by saying, Salmon has commitments to vendors other than writers, and to turn it all off now would put me in bankruptcy. I hope that you don't want that any more than I do. So another digital publisher bites the dust, and I hate to see Salmon go. It had been one of the publishers that had seemed to remain viable in the kind of weird back and forth that publishing has been taking in the past few years, traditional to indie to hybrid to indie to traditional and back and forth and back and forth. So it's a sad day for Salmon and for a lot of authors and editors as well.
Yes, absolutely. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I've got for the romance news this week.
Well, you know, since we've met last, Pat Conroy has passed away.
Oh, I knew that he had cancer. I did not realize he had passed away.
Yes, I thought I would add that.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, I've never read The Prince of Tides. But I did watch the movie. And
the movie was intense.
It was very intense. And you know, the funny thing is that I never realized till I saw that movie what a great actor Nick Nolte could be.
Right. He is one of those actors who seemed to have taken lighter roles early in his career. But yes, that was an amazing performance by him in that movie.
Absolutely. I was sorry to hear about Pat Conroy's death. Of course, I'm sure that he had pancreatic cancer. I know that is a very,
yeah.
It was one of those that's very, very difficult. And I just wish his family, all the best and hope that they can, I just pray that the Lord will give them comfort.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. Well, have you got anything else you want to say? Got anything else?
Nothing except that I'm really looking forward to romancing the Smokies, and I'm kind of like your previous guest, Brandy, and it's, oh my gosh, it's next weekend. I mean, the weekend after this coming.
How did that happen is what I want to know.
I don't know. It happened while I was sleeping, I think.
I'm telling you.
While you were sleeping.
Exactly. Well, I have loved having you in your nook this evening. And I hope that you have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Good to talk to you, Donna.
Thanks, Mallory. Bye-bye.
Award-winning author Leanne Tyler writes sweet and a little bit sensual Southern romances, historical and contemporary, and maybe a touch of the paranormal thrown in for good measure. Her novel Season of Love is a time travel set in 1850 Charleston. Leanne Tyler's The Good Luck series shines with delightful down-home writing and humor. More for your historical romance fix is Leanne's short story Ava from the Love Letters series and also her full-length novel Because of Rebecca. Look for author Leanne Tyler through all published and ebook venues such as Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine romance books are sold. Passion. I love it. I'm betting you do too. At Dark Hollows Press, we have every essence of passion, whatever your enjoyment level. It doesn't matter if it's swirled through historicals, sprinkled in contemporaries, or mixed up in paranormal. I savor it. Every rich, creamy, luscious morsel. When hungering for your flavor of passion, you have to explore Dark Hollows Press. With every genre of romance, whether you like cowboys, dukes, vampires, sci-fi, or shapeshifters, you'll find something at Dark Hollows Press to devour. No matter your penchant, Dark Hollows Press can gratify for a little while until your next yearning strikes, and then come back to darkhollowspress.com. Dark Hollows Press and passions worth staying up all night for.
And our last author tonight is J.K. Ensley, fantasy author. Jennifer, welcome to Hummingbird Place.
Hello, Donna. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, are you excited about next weekend?
I am. I'm having to do a to-do list thing to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. I have two books that are going to be released between now and then. Well, actually, they're going to be in pre-release, I guess,
uh-huh.
called pre-order.
Right.
So that there'll be print versions available at your signing, Romancing in the Smokies, but they won't be available anywhere else until the end of the month.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, we feel good about that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing while I was listening to the wonderful romance news there, was filling out my pre-order stuff at Amazon and setting up a release tour on Mudville Dames, and I'm afraid I'm going to forget something.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's easy to do. What I always go by is this. Unless I forget my medicine, I can usually buy anything else.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got Gypsy's Kilt that's out. And what is going to be out just for Romancing the Smokies?
Just for Romancing the Smokies will be Dragonborn, Book 1, Liliquin. So that is the first, and I believe it's going to be a trilogy. It was supposed to be a standalone, but two of the characters have their own story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be a trilogy, and who knows. But that will just be available there. And then I also wrote a book, and it's a fantasy romance, by the way, Dragonborn is.
Okay.
It's a story about a fallen Valkyrie that is minus her past and all her emotions save joy. Joy is the only thing Lilaquin can feel. And that's not necessarily a good thing because she really puts people off. You know, if something bad happens and somebody can only giggle about it or not be upset, that's sort of put-offish.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and so she has a hard time fitting in with the world and the people around her. So she basically lives in a bubble because of her disability, you might say.
Right.
And she meets a man who absolutely loves that part of her. You know how they say there's someone for everyone.
Right.
But he feels that even if he was sick and dying, he would rather hear her laugh than see her tears.
Right.
So they really mesh and blend well together. But that's when her past starts coming up, her forgotten past, where she had been cursed as a Valkyrie and she didn't know it. And so once this past is revealed, before she can go on with her happy life that she now has with Sebastian, she has to go back and face the old gods and the Dragon King who she was betrothed to before she was banished. So it's epic. It goes through a lot of changes, and she goes through a lot of growth and eventually learns what happened to her, why she is how she is, and it's like you have to put the past to bed before you can go on with your future.
Right.
So don't worry, there's a happy ending, of course, or it wouldn't be an awesome book, but that's basically what Dragonborn, the first book, is about. The second book that I wrote that's only going to be available there at the signing, and it's only going to be available for the people at my table, for the readers at my table, is called The Journey. And The Journey is also a fantasy romance that's a little on the darker side. It has a happy ending, but the main character is given a task of trying to, how would I say it without giving anything, to reveal an oncoming apocalypse.
Uh-huh.
To help people know what's going on, you know, in the Revelation type thing, and has help from various people, various angels, dark and light, and things along that line, and how she's trying to help everybody else before the end, before it's all too late, and the trials and the troubles that she has to go through with it, and how she love eventually wins out. You get to be with where you're supposed to be if you do what you're supposed to do, type of thing. So that's only going to be available for the people at the table, and then it won't be released until April.
All right.
If I decide to release that one.
So tell us what all you've got planned as far as what kind of swag you're bringing and how you're decorating your table, what kind of basket you're bringing for the Newport Animal Shelter.
Yeah, I'm real big about having things when I write. Like when I wrote the A Dance with Destiny series, if you've ever read those books, there are things in every book that are key to the main character being able to go on with the quest. Okay, so it could be a pendant or an amulet or runes or something that is pivotal in the book. And I'm real big about having that thing with me as a physical type muse. With Dragonborn, I actually made a dragon egg.
Oh.
And decorated, done. You can find them on Pinterest. They're gorgeous. But I made one to have a dragon egg for that book. And I think what I'm going to do is people who leave reviews for that book will have a chance to win that actual egg. But what I'm going to do at the Romancing the Smokies is with the book that I wrote for the people at the table, The Journey is what it's called, there are things in that book, several key items that she receives throughout her journey. And I have all of those items available for the people at the table. So the book that they're going to receive, they will also receive everything that she got along her journey as gifts too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you read the story, for instance, there's one time on one of her birthdays or something, she receives a pashmina shawl that has these little butterflies on it. Everybody there gets that exact shawl, right?
Oh, wow.
You understand what I'm saying? So there's things
that
happen throughout the book that she receives something that either is an encouragement or a help or a necessity. And it'll be a key point in the book. And every time that one of those pivotal things happen, I have that gift for the people. So there's five or six gifts, I think, that she receives through the books. And they're going to get all of those with the story that goes along with them.
My gosh. What about your basket?
Oh, the basket is I made a little box bookshelf.
Uh-huh.
And everything that I have written that is now in print is in there, like my library, along with a magazine I was just featured in will also be available in there. And a short story that's no longer for sale anywhere, that will be in there. And I decorated it with these really cool scarves that I got, tied bows
uh-huh.
on those, and a feather fan and everything. So, of course, it's hot pink and pretty and full of books.
I think that mm-hmm. sounds wonderful. Are you looking forward to Romancing the Smokies?
I am. I'm counting everything, boxing everything, making sure that I think I have everything. That's the worst thing in the world is to be halfway to the airport and think, oh, man, and turn around and have to go back.
Well, I'm actually starting now to pack
because
you guys don't know what packing is until you've seen what I'm going to have to do.
Oh, no. Sorry.
So, but, I mean, no, it's what I signed up for when I decided I was doing it. I'm very excited about Romancing the Smokies, and, Jennifer, I'm very excited to have you. Thank you so much for being there.
Thank you, Donna, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, J.K. Emsley. And you know what? That's it for this evening. We've already talked about Dark Hollows Press and all the wonderful things that they do. We also have to talk a little bit about Gelman, my best bud there, Leanne Tyler. Make sure that you understand that all of her books are available where all fine ebooks are sold, especially at Amazon.com. And that's it for us this evening. I hope that you will make every effort to attend Romancing the Smokies. Next week we have with us Tanya Kappas, who is our keynote speaker for Romancing the Smokies, Nancy Nagel, our welcome speaker, and Hallie Bridgman, who is also one of our big sponsors, and we're just excited about having them. And then the next weekend is Romancing the Smokies that you've been hearing about for the past year. So let's everybody get excited and be there. But for now, let's just get settled. Have a wonderful evening. Join us again next week because we will be here with a great show, and we hope that you have a wonderful week. Good night.
Hummingbird Place, your home for romance, with your hostess, Donna Wright, is brought to you by Dark Hollows Press and produced by Leanne Tyler. Production manager, Jackie DeVera. All music provided by Kevin MacLeod and Incompetech.com.